Pastor Jeff speaks of a common struggle for the believer in Christ.
There's a struggle going on. We must earnestly contend for the faith, strive to enter in, agonize. That word strive is agonize or wrestle. I was a wrestler in high school. Man, that's a tough sport. You just to wrestle somebody, to pin them. And that's what we need to do with this body of death. Pin it, or it'll pin you. Deal with it, because God's saying, we know we need to.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hello again. It's my pleasure to welcome you to Sound Doctrine. And in just a moment, we'll join Pastor Jeff Johnson in 1 Peter chapter 2. The topic today is our spiritual growth, and there are some hindrances to our growth in Christ that we want you to be aware of. Five of them, in fact. The Lord would tell us to lay them aside or put them off. Let's see what those are as we turn things over to Pastor Jeff.
Peter's been called the Apostle of Hope. In chapter 1, deals with the new birth. And wow, what a chapter. I mean, he just laid it on us. We have been born again. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says in the middle part of that verse, he hath begotten us again into a living hope. I mean, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it just shook the world. When Christ rose from the dead, he was the only one that ever did it or will ever do it, except those that follow him. We also will rise. So that's a great promise. But we've experienced that new birth. Chapter 2 deals with our growth spiritually. And this is so important. Once you've been born again, you're a babe, you need to grow. So verse 1 says this in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Wherefore, because of what we just heard, because of we have this new life, because he's redeemed us, because he loves us, wherefore, we need to lay aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. What a heavy thing to lay in this second chapter. I mean, over in chapter 1, verse 22, it says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. You see, God has his part of redeeming us and bringing us into this new born-again experience. But then he says, now, because you're born again, love your brothers. Love everybody. Bring forth my love out of your life because I've put my Spirit within you. You have it. So give it away. So he says, you're a new creation. And the proof of that new creation is that we love the brothers. And that's our part. The proof of the redemption part is God. God changes us to be able to love. But then we're the ones that take what he has given us, this new life, and now living it. And giving God's love away. Because he so loved us, now we're to love one another. So the proof is our love. Now, he says, if we are to grow spiritually, if we're to grow strong, we're to lay five things, these five things aside. Or if we don't, our growth is going to be hindered. We need to know that right up front. These are hindrances to your growth, to my growth in the Lord. So he says, lay these aside. Over in Romans 13, 14, I love this. This is where Paul says, but, and this is Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for your flesh, the lust, to fulfill the lust thereof. So one of the answers is, if you're having a problem with one of these issues that he's talking about here, you're to put on Jesus and put off these five things. If you put on Jesus, you're going to put down the lust of the flesh. You're going to put down the things that the natural man has in his heart. I mean, this is because of sin. And we all carry that. Our grandfather Adam really did it on us, didn't he? And we struggle with that. But he came to set us free. So we're to put off, over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, he says, and you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I like that, the protection of the mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So put off and put on. He's telling us to do this. He's already given us his spirit. He's already redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. We already are righteous in Christ Jesus before God. So now he says, now do these things. Put off, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, he says, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. We're connected now. We're the family of God. If we do something in the flesh, we're going to hurt your brother. You're going to hurt your sister. So you got to be careful. So he's really giving us the plan. He says, put off the old man, which is, you know, the Adam nature. It's done. The old nature. It stinks. It stinks of death is what it is. Can you imagine Lazarus as he comes hopping out of the tomb and he's healed? You know, come forth, Lazarus. And he comes out. And they take off, you know, loose him. Take off the grave clothes. And then there's this pile of grave clothes there. And Lazarus says, oh, I like those. I want those. I want to put them back on. What do you want to carry around? Death? You want to put the death clothes on? Hey, you've been made alive. You've been resurrected. No, you don't want to go there. So these are contrary to brotherly love. Put away, definitely put them away, deliberately put them away, permanently put them away. The first four are inward sins that we can deal with. The Lord says you can do it. The fifth one is outward. Remember over in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, but Christ now dwells in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. So I'm dead. Soon as I received Christ, soon as I accepted Christ into my heart, the blood was applied to my life, I'm born again. It's a new life. I'm a new creation. And now the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Over in Colossians chapter 3, jot it down, verse 5, he says, mortify. And that word mortify there in Colossians 3, 5 means put to death, therefore, your members. Those members, those things that are in you that are not of God, which are upon the earth, fornication, sex before marriage, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And he says, put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another. And put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So this is a renewing, a refreshing of just saying, this is a new life. You're going to put off the old and put on the new. You got to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, it will destroy you. The lusts of the flesh. The things that are in you that when you get saved, you got to deal with. And God's just saying, I did my part. Now, guess what? This is your part. Put off those sins that you know will set you back and will wipe you out if you keep them going. You know, relinquish them. Let them go. Over in Romans chapter 6, jot it down. Romans 6 and verse 6. He says, knowing this, because we can know, we know a lot of things now. Because once you get into the family of God, all of a sudden that spiritual knowledge button is pushed. And you begin to cry like a baby. And you begin to say, feed me, feed me. And you got a hunger that just doesn't quit. Because you're a newborn. And newborn screams when they want milk. And you should be screaming for milk. We'll get that in that in a moment. But knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The word there in the Greek is katagero. It means wiped out, no more. You're laying in the coffin. You're dead. Nothing can, you know, how are you going to tempt a dead person, right? Come on, you know, no, he's dead. So see, we got to realize what happened. So the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then in verse 12 of Romans 6, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Put a stop to it, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't allow it to go anywhere. Just put it off. Paul said in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 27, this is good. In 9:27, he says, but I keep under my body. I keep under this body that is, you know, the flesh and the spirit, they war against one another. So I keep this body that I'm living in under, and I bring it into subjection, lest that at any means I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to say one thing and do another. I don't want people to see me like that. How do you keep your body under? By keeping your soul on top, by feeding on the Word of God, by looking to the Lord for that strength to understand that you're dead in Christ, but now you're alive unto God. You're alive, and He's going to be with you, and He's going to help you through it. Growth is tough. It's hard. There's a struggle going on. We must earnestly contend for the faith, strive to enter in, agonize. That word strive is agonize or wrestle. I was a wrestler in high school. Man, that's a tough sport. You just to wrestle somebody, to pin them. And that's what we need to do with this body of death. Pin it, or it'll pin you. Deal with it, because God's saying, we know we need to. And we can. He's encouraging us. You know, it'd be nice if He could just come in and make us, whoop, I am a Christian. I speak God's word. Oh, I might act like a robot, but He made me this way. You know, no, He doesn't make robots. He changes the heart. Is your heart changed? If your heart's changed, then you will know what you need to do. If you have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in you, you have everything you need. You have the power of God to overcome this body and its lusts. Remember, if you give in to sin, if you compromise, and Achan was a man who he compromised. He heard what God said. You know, everything is to be mine in Jericho. Don't touch anything. But then he looked at the gold. He looked at the gown, the beautiful silk. And he looked around and nobody was there. And he just took it and buried it in his tent. And he thought no one saw. But God saw. God sees. And we got to understand. We need to walk in the fear or reverence of God that He sees everything. That should bring incredible conviction upon us to repent. What do you think you're doing, snowing God? Well, I just don't let anybody know. He knows. Oh, then what am I to do with it? Give it to him. Ask him for deliverance, that the enemy won't keep beating you up because of it. Because he'll bring it to your remembrance and show you colored pictures. Let the Lord just forgive you. And I think that's one of the main things. We must deal with sin. How do you deal with sin? Over in 1 John chapter 1, which is right going towards Revelation, but in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." We're walking with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from what? All sin. All sin. We just need to walk in the light. This be the light. There is no other light. There is no other truth. We need to walk in his word. How do you walk in it? Well, you got to get to know it. That means you got to get into it. Oh, it's such a big book. It's the book of books. It's the word of life. It's our sustenance. It's everything to the Christian. And if it's not everything to you, then you better pull back and say, "God, show me. I need to know because I don't want to miss this." And I'm struggling so much. From week to week, you're lucky I'm here today. Because there's times in my heart I want to backslide. I just want to let this thing go, man. It's just so hard to be a Christian. And the struggle's too much. No, it's not. If you allow his spirit to do the work, it's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's by his spirit. He does the work within us. And so he gets all the glory, right? Well, I prayed many hours. I devoted myself and I fasted for 40 days. What? You know, and so we want to show off what we have done spiritually. You know, we have done nothing. To God be the glory, great things he has done. The next verse is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There it is, the Christian's bar of soap. What is it? Confess your sin. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from unrighteousness. Start to be real with God. Quit hiding your sin. Quit being an Achan, because you're going to be Achan if you follow Achan. You're not going to get away with anything. God sees everything, and you can't play games. We just need to get serious with God and really and truly allow him to have total occupancy and rule and reign in our hearts. That's it. Bottom line. So God's prescription, that's it. It's simple. But man always has to dig up something. So he goes, "Well, we got a 12-step plan." Oh, wow. You mean you go through the 12 steps and yeah. Oh, no. We've got this plan now. We cast it out of you. Isn't that great? Just cast it out. You demon of smoke. You're not going to smoke anymore. You know, cast him out. You know, I'm free. You know, that's ridiculous. Or how about just throw it up? And I got people that get into that. Just throw that thing up. Throw that out. You know, that's not what God's talking about. That's man's way. God's way is just simply reverence the Lord. Fall on your knees. Humble yourself before God. He'll lift you up. He'll bless your life. He'll fill you with his spirit, and he'll bless your home, your kids, your wives. So five hindrances to growth. The first one is malice. It's an unforgiving spirit. Evil thought life. He says, no. 2 Corinthians 10, bring all of your thoughts into the captivity of Christ. That's what's needed. That, you know, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal or fleshly. They're powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. These strongholds that somehow grab hold of us in our minds. We start thinking these filthy things, and we just need to ask God to save us. to bring him in captivity, to say, Lord, save me right now. And he says, I will. I'll be with you because I understand your struggle. I understand what you're going through. That's in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. The second sin here is guile, deceit. It's like Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. It turned into hypocrisy. It turned into a lie. They said they sold everything and that they wanted to lay it at the apostles' feet and that they're really somebody because they sacrificed so much. And Peter looked at them and said, you lied to the Holy Spirit. You said you gave, but you didn't give all. Oh, it was yours to give, but for you to lie? No, put this away. This hypocrisy, it's got to go. God says, I can't have it in the beginning of my church. And what happened? They got carried out, didn't they? Both of them. They died right on the spot. You don't think the early church came around a little bit? Man, we got to take this thing seriously. Can't just go around lying. God takes it seriously. And that hypocrisy, that Adam nature, Jacob had guile. Jacob was a wheeler dealer. God had to break him at Jabbok, and he caused an angel to wrestle with him, and he broke him there at that place. Why? Because he was so strong and stubborn. Sometimes God has to break us. That's why you hear a lot of times I say, hit the wall. That's hit the bottom. Some have to go hit it a number of times before you get it, because we're so stubborn. We're like the sheep. You get in a path and you don't move. And God says, I want you to move towards me. Don't go there the same thing all the time. Move towards me. And so Jacob, God says, Jacob, you're a broken man. And he cried out. And God says, I'm going to give you a new name. And your new name's going to be Israel. Israel means governed by God. Isn't that great? You are now not governed by your guile and your deceitful ways. You're governed by God. Man, his life transformed immediately. I love that story. It's so powerful. Envy and jealousy, they're like twins. Envy resents advancement of someone or an acquisition of somebody that somebody gave to them. And so Abel comes with his sacrifice of the animal. And God says, I accept your sacrifice. Cain came what he did and made with his hands, what he created, this beautiful garden. And look at all that I created. And God rejected him. Oh, man, you talk about envy and jealousy. He was so angry, he just said, Adam, you're going to die. And he went over and killed him. That's what envy and jealousy can do, cause murder.
You've been listening to Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. We're drawing attention to five hindrances to our growth in the Lord. It's part of our study in 1 Peter. Hey, would you like today's study on CD? You can purchase a copy when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. Suggested donation is $5. Again, that's 800-353-7553. I should also mention you can replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us, listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. And then listen to our podcast wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. Today, we'd like to recommend a book written by Pastor Chuck Smith. It's called Charisma versus Charismania. This book offers a balanced look at the person and work of the Holy Spirit and will help you avoid the extremes surrounding the subject. You'll also be armed with solid biblical teaching as well. Get a copy from us for just $12 when you visit our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. And again, you can also call 800-353-7553. Please also remember we are listener-supported. We believe people desperately need the sound doctrine contained in God's Word right now. And with your help, we're able to provide it to them. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. You know, in radio, it's not always easy to identify who's listening and where. But that is where you come in and you can actually help. Take a moment today and write to us. Let us know if you're getting a lot out of this study in 1 Peter, and if you appreciate the teaching you receive through Sound Doctrine. That would mean a great deal to us. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org, and when you do, mention the station that you're listening to. Again, that's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. There are more hindrances to your spiritual growth, and we'll tell you about them next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. So, Father.